Hello, and to everyone out there, welcome to the Financial Sanity Hour. You can follow us on www.financialsanitynow.com. So if you're listening and you have a chance to tune in on your iPhones, your Androids, your iPads, or your computers, you'll even get more information. Or you can always go to BBS Radio/Financial Sanity Now. And get a copy of everything we talk about. What we're going to talk about today, and I say this with my co-host and moderator, Alina Lay, is the idea of how the banks are treating the homeowners, and additionally, how banks are dealing with consumers in general. And we do want to hear from any of you out there who have complaints about the banks, whether it's about credit cards, second mortgages, home mortgages, you've had problems with modifications. This is your chance to really get, you know, your voice heard and maybe get some answers that you can live with that will help you out. Our point of view is that the economy, we're all part of a very large economy. It's actually not a point of view, it's a fact. And because we're part of a very large economy, any ripple in the banking system affects everyone in this country. Most recently, we had the scandal at Barclays Bank and other British banks when they artificially set LIBOR in order for them to greedily make billions of dollars. I know most of you won't understand the exact way this is done, but take my word, it was done, and it affects you, it affects your municipalities, it affects the state governments. Anytime they can rig interest rates one way or another and bet on them going up or down, that's what affects all of us. This is a major scandal. It's starting to unfold, but I think even the people investigating it don't understand it too well. The other major scandal this week, and we like to bring you the current banking scandals, was HSBC, which was found money laundering for the cartel. And when confronted with this by a Senate committee, went, "We won't do it anymore." Well, we won't do it anymore. These people actually took money and laundered it from a cartel and said, "We won't do it anymore." Let's go a little further down the list. How about Credit Suisse? We found hundreds of thousands of accounts there of people evading taxes, putting it in that bank, and them covering it up. Now, my question to the audience and to everyone out there is, tell us what's happened in your world in banking so we can understand better how to help you. The stories I'm relating are public stories. The information is out there. Unfortunately, the integrity is not there. The integrity of the institutions that you and I grew up with, the integrity of a banker, is not there anymore. Why it isn't is a matter of a sociological perspective. But, Helena has a question about this.
Hi, Alan. How are you doing tonight?
Very nicely, thank you.
Wonderful. I do have a question about a recent article I stumbled across in the New York Times called California County Weighs Drastic Plan to Homeowners. And I heard this is regarding foreclosures and the new DOJ program. What can you tell us about the DOJ program?
Well, the DOJ program, and I do credit, I don't want to take political sides, but I will. I want to credit the Obama administration, which is pushing through the Department of Justice program along with certain attorney generals, specifically from California and Nevada. And the DOJ program has to do with reducing principal. So, if your house is more than 20% underwater, many are, unfortunately, it's only on the first mortgage at this moment, But if it's more than 20% underwater, you may be eligible for DOJ. Here's the catch. Your loan must be both serviced and owned by the same bank. Now, many banks, and we have these things all the time, like Bank of America, will service a loan and not own it. And then they can get out of working with the DOJ program. DOJ is Department of Justice, and it allows for principal reduction, a really great program. And a lot of people need principal reduction. One in three homes is underwater due to the basic collapse of the real estate market after it being run up so high. So this program is good. The only way you can get into it is to apply and really have an appraisal done and make sure that all the numbers match and that the application's been put in properly. We can help you with that.
That's wonderful. Now, recently I went...
You didn't ask me about this, though. You asked me and then you showed me something else. But if this is not DOJ. All right.
Now, recently, I went to a conference for Senator or Congressman Berman.
Yeah.
Right. And there was a woman in the audience who's been trying to get a loan modification through for over a year, and she stated something along the lines of California's attorneys, California's judges,
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, I remember hearing that. I was at that meeting. Maybe I didn't see you. I was in the back. I know we had both planned on going. A securitized loan is when the loan has been the bank. Actually, let me put it to you in the easiest way. The bank took the money, wrote the paper, or the mortgage broker, and then they sold it off. They sold it off to pension funds or governments or, in many cases, funds that are owned by many of the congressmen, and these funds were used to basically invest in real estate. The thing about them when they bought these funds was that these were stamped AAA. The rating agencies said these are great. They're stamped AAA, and no. And therefore, and they weren't. They were like D. They were very bad paper. So these securitized notes are owned by very wealthy people, yes. That answer it, or did I go and meander a bit?
I think a big problem is that we need to blow the lid on some of these judges and lawyers that are buying up people's loans. And a lot of corruption is going on within our banking system that is not being recognized. And I know you said you don't want to take political sides, but what do you feel would happen if Mitt Romney, for an example, took office, wins the election this year?
I feel bad for the homeowner.
What is your prediction on what could potentially happen?
Well, I think that the investors will have the upper hand and the homeowners will not. I think they'll just say, look, it's free enterprise, capitalism. If someone can't pay, take the home and leave it alone, and that's it. And it's already being considered under the term rescue plan for homeowners in California. One of the things that they said is they're going to take homes that people have and call it eminent domain, buy up their mortgages, and sell them off to investors. Well, isn't that sweet? Okay. In other words, are we going to help the homeowner? Are we going to help the common man? Are we going to help the working man? Or are we going to help the investors? already this is tilted way in the hands of the investors. And by the way, I have nothing against investors. We all want to invest and make money. But let's understand that these investments were deceitful on the part of the bank. They were deceitful so that now the homeowner is going to suffer because these were deceived loans? No. You can't let the homeowner take all the pain on this. And I think that I haven't heard anything out of the Romney people that says we're going to help the homeowners and we're going to do something. In fact, the Republicans have blocked most things. And I'll give you one example. It's second mortgages. The Democrats wanted to allow the judges to take away second mortgages in a bankruptcy. They wanted to allow them to reduce principal in a bankruptcy, just in a bankruptcy. And it was blocked. So, I mean, if that's an indication, then it's not good. And I just have one little, I want to call it a quirk or something that upsets me. I am a capitalist. I believe in capitalism. But I believe in capitalism for all of us. Not just for the small guy. Not just for the homeowner. I believe in it for the big guy. And when you bail out the banks and the cars and the insurance and AIG, we no longer have capitalism. And if you don't have capitalism, then you better help everyone else as well. And that's my editorial on that.
Wonderful. Now, regarding President Obama, what do you feel that he's done for our nation in the last 4 years for homeowners?
For homeowners, I feel he has worked even when it came to HAMP, which is making homes affordable, he extended it to the end of 2013. He found funds in that program. It was originally supposed to expire at the end of this year. So right there, he was helpful. He's also set up the Consumer Protection Agency, which oversees so much of many of these problems. Now, it's just starting because, again, the Republicans blocked it in Congress. They did not want to allow this agency to exist. They don't like regulation. Well, I don't know why, but they don't. And it is an agency that I think would help homeowners to navigate the treacherous shoals that are the mortgage and banking industry. So I think those are two things he's really worked hard to do. Also with Dodd-Frank, which unfortunately still has no teeth. But these are types of things that, I mean, eventually could help. And I think in the long run would help the banks as well. Because, you know, if everyone does well, if people are happy, if people own their own homes, this is a good thing. It's a good thing for big business also. So I feel like he's really done these two things specifically to help out.
So the Making Homes Affordable program you speak about, is that the program where borrowers are getting as low as 2% interest and can stretch it out as far as 40 years?
That is that program. Now, there are other programs because, remember, nothing is mandatory. I wish they were, but nothing is mandatory. So there are other programs that could work in a similar way, but we have to understand that, yes, that is the program we're
talking about. And your company, Financial Sanity Now, or also known as Advanced Economic Strategies, helps homeowners through the Making Homes our President's Making Homes Affordable program, HAMP program, and you're saying other modification programs?
That is correct.
And all of them have the possibility of a principal reduction?
Many do. Many have the possibility is definitely there, and we're seeing it more frequently. Again, nothing's guaranteed, but I can actually show you one. I know you're sitting here. If any of the listeners want, we could send them a redacted copy just so they'd understand. But this gentleman recently, and I say this, he has three children, and one of them is quite ill. And we were able to save him I'm looking at the numbers here, $319,000 off his principal. Now, granted, it was over $800,000, so $319,000 still leaves him with $580,000, but at least that's closer to market value.
For his home worth, his home value.
Right, for his home value. So that gives him a chance to breathe and a payment that he can live with.
And that was the borrower that you said, I know we were discussing earlier off air, was 28 payments delinquent?
Yes, unfortunately.
So he came to you over 2 years delinquent?
Well, he did. He did. And that we don't really encourage people to do these things. You know, we say, be proactive.
So when he was this delinquent, did you know that you could help him right away?
No. No, we weren't sure if we could help him. We thought we'd try. It's actually someone I know personally. I know his dad. I know his mother. I know them all. You know, it's a family I know very well. And because of that, I decided to, you know, do my best to see what could be done. And it worked.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. Congratulations on that. I'm sure he's very happy.
He's as happy as he could be.
Right, right. I mean, being able to stay inside of his home is probably wonderful.
Yeah, he had several sale dates, which we were able to help him postpone. And I can read this to you. We're pleased to inform you are approved to start a trial period for the new modification recently introduced as a result of U.S. Department of Justice and State Attorney's General Global Settlement.
So that was the DOJ program.
That's correct.
Wonderful. So, that's wonderful.
And one other thing I do want to mention, I know you haven't brought it up, is that it is now possible to work with investment properties.
Investment properties such as homes for sale?
No, investment. Let's say you have an investment property. You have an investment property, and it's a rental. Let's say you bought it years ago, you refinanced it, you have a high interest rate, and that has gone down in value as well. It was not possible before, and I say before, as little as 4 months ago, to...
Was that modify investment properties?
Yeah, it was not possible to do it.
And so now people who own more than one home can, and you know how to do it at your company.
That's correct. Yes, we do. We know how to do that.
And if people wanted to find out about how to do this, they would call your telephone number. And I see you have it listed here, 866-753-4028.
Right. And if they're in the Los Angeles area, we encourage them to call 818-906-2385.
Okay, and you also have a website. That's www.financialsanitynow.com.
Right.
And I know you also have a Facebook page.
Yes, we do.
Okay, wow. Wonderful.
That's really nice that we have that.
Right, and so people can go to that page and like it. For anybody listening out there, if you have any economic problems, you have credit card bills, mortgages, any type of loan questions that you want to ask Alan and his team, you can go to his Facebook page. It's titled Financial Sanity Now, FSN, or financialsanitynow.com, his website, or you can call his telephone number. So I have another question for you, Alan. More than 1 million homes had foreclosure filings, notice of defaults, auction notices, and bank repossessions during the first 6 months of 2012, up 2% from the previous 6 months, according to RealityTrack, and an online marketer of foreclosed properties. And while the numbers of filing were down 11% from the first 6 months of 2011, 20 states still saw marked year-over-year increase. Foreclosure filings in Indiana, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Connecticut, Florida, and Illinois increased by 20% or more. Now, I know you mainly work with California, but what do you advise for people who are in these other states? can they also apply for these programs?
Well, yeah, they can. What I would advise them to do is get on the website that we have. We have a book about how to deal with modifications, and that works in any state. There are certain applicable laws in each state, and that we recommend in those cases you look those up. But overall, the handbook will tell you how to do it, how not to do it, the things you need to know, the things you need to avoid, the pitfalls. All this is very important. So I'd say get the book. You can always call us. We're happy to talk to you. We'll give you some best shot advice that we know, and we'll work it from there. So let's get started at least at that point.
And that's your book.
I actually wrote that book.
And where can you find that book?
You can find it on the website at financialfamilynow.com. You can also, I believe, find it on the BBS Radio website. And you can also find it at the Homeowners Relief. There's a page for Homeowners Relief Mortgage Guide.
Okay, wonderful. That sounds great.
Plenty of places to find it.
That's wonderful. There was another question I had for you. The other foreclosure crisis, there are certain people losing their homes over a mere $400 in back taxes. There was one woman who had a tax lien on her home, and she owed money, and she was delinquent to the investors, the servicer and the investor on her loan. And basically, she lost her home. This was an 84-year-old woman, and it was over a $474 sewer bill in Rhode Island.
No.
What is your opinion on tax liens? Can they be removed?
Well, again, every state is different. In California, you'd have to be more than 5 years delinquent to have your home sold for a tax lien.
Wow.
And certainly for $400, I believe that I know that the tax people are not that bad. They'd probably try to chip in to help this lady pay the tax lien. So I find it very unusual that something like this happened. I think it should be reversed. I don't think it's that difficult to reverse it. Anyone who'd buy up a property and throw a woman out for a $400 tax lien, I think, is heartless. And this should have never, ever happened. Could it? Yeah, it could. Unfortunately, there are people out there who will prey on these types of things. Now, if someone owes a lot of money in taxes and they haven't paid it and their house goes up for auction, understandable. That's
right.
Understandable, but not over something.
Well, let me ask you a more personal question. At your company, Advanced Economic Strategies, do you negotiate liens? Have you negotiated liens? Have you negotiated anything? I've heard of some people losing their properties over delinquent HOA amounts due. Has your company personally helped people remove liens or, you know, settle out certain disputes that could result in the home being sold?
Yes. Yeah, short answer, but a longer answer is this. What is a lien? A lien is a debt. Now, that debt can be true or false, but if it's a true debt, then it can be a true lien. A lien is something that's put against a piece of property normally. So if you owe Visa $15,000, you haven't paid it, they get a judgment, they could technically get a lien against your property. What good is the lien? The lien is not any good if the home is worth less than the mortgage and the lien. But if it's worth more, than they have some value in it. Now, for $15,000, they're not going to force you to sell your home. But when you do sell a house, ba-bam, you're going to have to pay that money to them.
Unless you put it into a bankruptcy, then you'd have, then you could
very good
split
point.
It over.
Very good point. If you have a lot of debt and you decide to do a bankruptcy, the lien will disappear. Or let's talk about negotiating liens. A lien is not any good to someone who can't collect on it. So knowing that, we look at a full situation for a person and decide, can we help? Can we negotiate this out at 10 cents, 20 cents on the dollar, 30 cents? Depending on the type of lien, depending on how far it's gone, these are things that can be done. Not talking about government liens, though, or tax liens. Those, they are negotiable, but not to the same degree as a commercial lien.
Right, I understand. So government liens or other liens, such as HOA, you would have to pay back the full amount, but it is possible to stretch out the amount owed.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Something more affordable. No one usually, and I say usually, let's look at this case with the $400, most people don't want to take away a property. Most people want to get something from the lien. Something is better than nothing.
Right, that makes sense. Speaking of the foreclosure crisis, I see an article here in the USA Today titled "Foreclosure Crisis Hits Older Americans Hard, Washington." More than 1.5 million older Americans have lost their homes, and millions more are at risk as the national housing crisis takes its toll on those that are among the least able to weather the storm. Did you know that about 600,000 people 50 years or older are in foreclosure today?
No, I didn't. That's an incredibly sad number. I mean, at 50 years old, to be in foreclosure and to have no chance to come back, where are they going to live? Where are these people going to live? Old age homes? Are we going to herd them into cattle farms? Are we going to put them on a reservation? Well, you know, the older a person gets, the more they are attached to the environment they've lived in. And that's maybe sometimes all they have is those memories and the place they're in. And I really didn't know that the effect was that great. But now that you're saying it, it makes sense. Maybe their earning power is not as great. Maybe they're the first ones to be let go of a job because they want to replace it with younger people who work for less money. This is called age discrimination, and it does happen. And in a recession, yes, it's more likely. But could you repeat that statistic? It sounds appalling.
Here's a couple of statistics for you, Alan. And for the listeners out there, the average consumer, anybody thinking about buying a mortgage, if your family has a mortgage, if someone you know, a friend has a mortgage, here's some statistics just in case somebody's suffering and you are not aware. Alan's company seems to be helping a lot of people. So once again, you can contact him at 866-753-4028. About 600,000 people over 50 years old or older are in foreclosure. About 625,000 people in the same age group are at least 3 months behind on their mortgage, basically getting a notice of default, next is foreclosure, then there's a sale date. About 3.5 million, 16% of older homeowners are underwater, meaning their home values have gone down and they owe now more than what their homes are worth.
Those statistics are appalling, but it makes sense. These are people who worked hard, went out, got a house, thought it was their time, and unfortunately bought at the wrong time. And I know some of them went ahead and got adjustable rate mortgages because it was more affordable for them to live in the house.
What's
at that
your
time.
Opinion on adjustable rate mortgages?
Well, I don't like them at all. Right now, they are down. If you have an adjustable rate, you might be paying 3 or 4%. But that same mortgage in 4 or 5 years can be 8%. I think it's rolling the dice, and it might come up 7. And 7's no good unless it's the first rolling crap. So I think that if you're a gambler, then take your chances on an adjustable rate. But otherwise, you really need to have a fixed rate. And I know when we modify people, it's always into fixed rate mortgages. That's it. We're not interested in adjustables. It's just too risky.
That's wonderful.
And what happens when someone gets 50 or 60 or 70 or 120? I don't know. Someone gets that old. But at least they have a fixed mortgage.
That's wonderful.
At least they know something is fixed in life.
Tell me, what do you think about reverse amortized loans?
Oh, well, what a reverse amortized loan is, I mean, there's two types. So we're talking about a reverse mortgage for someone over 65, or we're talking about option arm reverse mortgages?
Well, let's hear a little bit about both.
Okay, well, the first one is being sold now to people over 65. And what it is the let's say your house is worth $300,000. Well, they'll give you $200,000 of it over a period of time in payments. They'll give it back to you. They'll keep a good equity, 50% equity position. But then, by the time you pass on, they own half the house. The bank owns half the house. So anyone coming on, they're basically going to take over the home at that point. So if you intend to leave your home to your children, forget about it. It's not going to happen. Okay, that's a reverse mortgage. It could be good for some people who have no other source of income. Basically, it's like taking, let's say you have an orange. You finally got the most beautiful orange, and now you start sucking the juice out of it. And by the time you're 20 years go by, there's no more juice. Same with your house. You're squeezing it till there's nothing left. Now, on the other hand, there was what's known as option arm mortgages. These thankfully are not being used anymore, but they were so insidious, and if anyone out there still has one, please call us. They were, your real interest rate was 6 or 7 or 8%. The rate they charged you was 2% for 3, 4, or 5 years. What happened is you paid on the 2%, but the difference between 2 and 7% was added back to your principal. So you have a 7%, or maybe you should have been paying $3,500, but you're paying $2,000. Now what happens is $1,500 gets added back to your principal every single month. At the end of a year, do the math, you owe now $18,000 more than when you started. And I guess this made sense when homes were going up at astronomical rates. But in essence, how could that type of mortgage make sense to anyone? How could it be? So there's only was one reason for it, and that was to fuel the price hike. Because if you could afford for $2,000 to buy a $1 million home, how many people would turn it down? What do you think?
Wow. You are throwing a lot of information at us, Alan. I really appreciate all of your help that you've been providing for the consumers of our nation. As far as other types of loans, tell me about some other types of loans that you feel should be outlawed.
Outlawed?
Yes.
Well, I'm most concerned with right now with the adjustables because I see them coming back. And the option arms, I think, should never come back. Aside from that, I think we're okay. There's now a lot of 10-year arms out there that will be given out. We'll give you a 10-year arm at a 2.75 teaser rate. But, you know, I'm not into outlawing things. I'm into people becoming conscious and understanding what they're doing more. Maybe this crisis has woken up people. But, you know, I'm not into outlawing. I think just think that when you have these types of risky mortgages, they should have been stamped risky, big R, not AAA from the rating agency. Stamped them heavy risk so that it doesn't bring down the rest of the market when they default. This was the big problem. You want to give out a risky mortgage? Okay. you're going to do it, and you should be known as a risky bank who gives out risky mortgages. And that's your way you want to do business, that's okay. Look at payday lenders. They give out money to anyone, pretty much. And they know certain people are not going to pay them back. And because of that, they charge a very hefty interest rate, and it all works out for everyone. That's fine. That's not the way this was sold to people. This was sold on a massive level where everyone, hey, by the way, all these prices are going up. Don't worry. We can refinance, but when? Well, don't worry. You could always refinance into a traditional loan at any time. And I have to say this. I know you haven't asked it, but it really begs the question of second mortgages. This is one of the things that's being overlooked. It shouldn't be overlooked. The New York Times Sunday had an incredible article by Margrinson, and I'll see if I can actually find it for you.
I think I know what you're talking about, and it was talking about how home equity borrowers face three potential issues.
Yes.
The reports concluded that they include risk from rising interest rates. Most of these loans have adjustable interest rates, and the payments shock as borrowers realize that they have to pay down principal. Refinancing difficulties are also a problem because collateral values have declined significantly since the loans were originated. It didn't have to be this way for borrowers, at least. Had the loan modification programs created by the Treasury Department required banks to write down junior liens more aggressively, homeowners would not be facing a wave of increased payments. But the Treasury Department did not, and its stance allowed the second liens problems to balloon.
Right. Now, what's happened is they are ballooning. They're there. They're prevalent. The estimated amount of second liens is $500 billion. Many people have paid their second liens because they're small. They're very small. They're right now they're 2%, 3%, 4% interest only. So they pay them. But it's all going into interest. The banks are holding them on their books as if they're good paper. The minute these things go up, you're going to have a rash of defaults again because people can't pay. But let me tell you something else that's happening, if you don't mind. And that is, when do these get paid back? In other words, they're not written in perpetuity that they can pay interest only for the rest of their God-given life. At some point, they have to be paid back. Many of them balloon in 10 years or 15 years, and they're due back. These were sold to people like, don't worry. Don't you ever hear that expression? Don't worry. Everything will be fine. What'll happen is you'll be able to refinance your house. We'll roll it in. We'll give you a 30-year fixed mortgage. Well, now, you can't refinance. You can't roll it in. You're not going to get a fixed mortgage, but you're going to owe that $100,000. And when it comes due, how are you going to pay it?
Right.
How? I mean, that's a question I have, and it's, to me, a very question that has not been looked at. You know, when we created TARP and bailed out the bank, were these just ignored, overlooked? We're talking about $500 billion. Now, I think even for the federal government, that's a lot of money, but when you could divide that up over homeowners, it's an awful lot. The average line of credit ran about $70,000 to $80,000, some as high as $500,000. So it's such a big problem. What else?
So what you're saying is the negative equity position of many borrowers would be dramatically improved if the second lien was eliminated or reduced more in line with the seniority of the lien. And indeed, the loan modifications programs would be markedly more successful if principal reductions were used on the first mortgage and the second liens were eliminated completely.
Yes.
But this hasn't happened. The Treasury hasn't forced the banks to write down these loans, and billions in balances remain outstanding. From what I heard, your company has actually been known to negotiate down second liens to as low as 10% on the dollar. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Stories where you have negotiated second liens.
That's correct.
And have you also had success stories that have modified second mortgages?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Both.
That's wonderful. And just so that the people out there are listening, what is it that people do not know about mortgages that are taken out at the same time in California?
That is great. In California, if your mortgage, let's say I bought a home for, and I know people listening out there realize California is higher priced. Let's say I bought the home for $500,000. But the first mortgage holder would not give me $500,000. They'd give me $400,000. And then they'd find another bank or even their own home equity line department to give me an extra $100,000. Okay, so at that point, they would add that to the loan, making it 100% called purchase money, 100% purchase money. In California, all purchase money loans are not, repeat, not the personal liability of the person taking out the loan when it is secured against real property. Let me repeat that. When it's secured against real property, both the first and second, when taken at the same time to purchase a property, is called purchase money, and therefore liability is only against the property. Now, this works for all first liens, period. Whether, no matter when they're taken out, any first lien is against the property only. And it's very important. A lot of people think that, you know, they're responsible. Well, they are. We're all responsible people. But understand that the first lien is against the property. The second was done at the same time, again, against the property.
And that's called a chattel mortgage.
That's called a chattel mortgage. Now, every state varies. Definitely these rules vary from state to state. I can only give you California, but you can certainly Google chattel mortgages in your state. Even first mortgages, and I believe this is true in Florida, are still the responsibility of the person. Again, every state varies with this. So most of the western states seem to have chattel mortgages, and I think this has to do with the way the West was settled. It's quite interesting, but I don't know if you want me to go into the history of the Old West, one of my favorite topics. But I think it is important to know what your liabilities are when negotiating, because if you're not liable for it and you got it at the same time, the banks are more amenable to doing something to help you out. If they feel they can go after you personally, not so amenable. But even if that is the case, we can still talk to them. If that house is underwater and you got that equity line later on, nothing wrong with opening a conversation.
Right. Now, to some people who weren't tuning in last week, since we are coming in the last 14 minutes of the show, do you want to repeat a couple of the things that we went through last week regarding how many people you've actually helped?
I do.
So how many people have you actually helped?
By the way, they've increased by 4 this week, thanks to our wonderful staff. I wish it could be 400, but we're a small group here. You know, if we can do 4 a week, we're very happy. But it has been over, I think, 800 or 900 people now.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So you've helped.
Well, that's just the first mortgages. We've helped, if you add up the second mortgages and the credit card people, we're over 1,100 with helping people. And we didn't talk about credit cards this week. I don't know if you want to, but it's become, once again, kind of prevalent in our society, where I notice, you know, I notice I get 4 and 5 credit card solicitations a day. And I think that the banks make so much money on credit cards, they're just soliciting people again and over-soliciting people. We have had many people come to us with $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 in credit card debt that have to be settled out or negotiated or dealt with. And I don't know if you want me to repeat how we do that, but I will if you like. Do you want to go into that topic at all?
Right. We should, actually. So you help people lower their interest rates. How low have you helped people lower their credit card interest rates?
It's usually between 0 and 2%.
Are you telling me that you've gotten people as low as 0% interest on credit cards that can be as high as 29.99% with penalties?
We are. Now, understand, when we do this, you can't use the credit card anymore. You've got to pay it off over a five-year period, but you can do it at zero interest, and your credit is in good standing.
Is this similar to bankruptcy?
No. Bankruptcy is definitely going to sit on your credit report. This is not. This is going to show as paid, like you're paying it in full. It's just you're paying it without interest.
So it does not affect your credit for 7 years?
No, it doesn't really affect your credit. I mean, your rest of your credit will stay fine. Just, you know, we don't want you applying for more credit cards during this time. We want you to pay off
what you owe.
Yeah, pay off what you owe.
And what about credit card repair?
Well, credit repair is something very great. Because people have, we don't even know what we have really on our credit reports. I pulled my own credit report, and all three of them were different. TransUnion, excuse me, I'm going to cough. Pardon me. Okay, pardon me.
You okay over there?
Yeah, fine. I don't know if everyone's familiar. There are three credit reports, TransUnion, Experian, and Exombium. So when you pull these three credit reports, they're going to be different. They're going to be different. And why would they be different? Because different people report to different people, and different people pick it up. These are human beings. So if you are with Visa of Colorado and they report to Experian and the other one reports to TransUnion, maybe it doesn't show up. But we find so many errors that show up where people have paid off their credit cards and they're still showing as open, or they've sold a home and they're still showing as if they have payments on there. And that ruins it for them when they're looking to move forward. So there's lots of errors. What we do is called credit repair. And you can now find us on, go to our website. But better yet, call us, because it's being, the website's a little under repair to get that on there as far as credit repair is concerned. You'll be able to link through directly by next week. But this week, you simply call us up and we'll set it up for you.
So that's the 866-753-4028.
Yes.
Okay. And the website is www.financialsanitynow.com.
That's right. And, okay. And I think you should look into credit repair. Everyone, go look at your credit report first. And if there's any errors or there's problems with it, here's how you can get one for free. We're not here selling you credit reports. Go to www.annualcreditreport.com. And when you get there, pull up all three reports. Take a good look at it. I'll guarantee you they're all different.
Wow.
Kind of strange.
Very shocking.
Yeah.
So at your company, Advanced Economic Strategies, you help save people's homes from foreclosure. You work with different loan modification programs and different programs to help lower people's interest rates, possibly save them on some principal, knock their principal down. And you help keep people inside of their homes, along with negotiate second mortgages, help people with loan modifications on their second, third, fourth, right?
Right.
I think we were talking about that off air. And you also help people lower their credit card interest and consolidate their payments to make it affordable so their credit doesn't continually get ruined, but it can actually start becoming repaired. And more recently, you help people repair their credit.
That's right. That's a whole plethora of services to help people get back on their feet, be more responsible, keep their homes for their families, and, you know, have a better life, because we want everyone to have as good a life as possible.
And to contact you, people can type in your website, www.financialsanitynow, and if they don't want to talk to you directly, but they just want to have your information that you've gathered throughout these years of doing this, they can purchase your book online.
Right.
And your book is called?
It's called The Homeowner's Guide to...
the Relief Packet.
Yeah, Mortgage Relief.
Okay. And your telephone number, 866-753-4028, or to reach a live person, 818-906-2385. You could like your page on Facebook. Everybody out there, you could like Alan Lissauer's page on Facebook. He's been helping our economy. He's been helping our homeowners. He's been helping our consumers. He's helped me. He's helped a lot of family members that I know, a lot of friends. He's helped a lot of people. So it would be wise to go to the Facebook page, click like. If you have any questions, you could email him at Alan@AES, that's Apple Edward Sam for Advanced Economic Strategies 77.com, Alan@AES77.com, and he will get back to you as soon as he can. Seems like he's a very busy man, but I know he always makes time, especially for consumers that really need their help. And we didn't really talk much this week about sale dates, but how many sale dates have you stopped this week?
This week alone, there were 6 that had to be stopped.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, there's a thing going on, and we'll talk about it next week. It's called dual tracking. It's still going on. It's now supposedly not to go on. Hopefully the banks will stop it. But while they're doing considering people for a modification, they're also throwing a sale date on their head. It's kind of like saying, run faster because there's a sword in front of you. So if you trip and don't get it right, the sword's going to go through you. But in this case, the sword is the sale of their home. Kind of insidious practice, and it should stop. Let's treat people fairly. Let's try to work with the consumer. Get them modification if it's possible. Keep those people in their homes that honestly want to stay there, that can afford to stay there.
Wonderful. That really sounds like you're doing a great job here. And you work with different loan modification programs such as the Making Homes Affordable, the HAMP, the DOJ, along with a lot of traditional, as we talked about last week, in-home modifications for different servicers. Please, people, don't be shy. I've seen him work with people with banks, Bank of New York. I've seen him work with Flagstar. I mean, banks that I've never heard of personally. And then a lot of the big tacklers are Bank of America, Chase Bank, Wells Fargo, City Mortgage, and he has modified and helps homeowners stay in their home through all those servicers. And from my understanding, Alan, you work with the executive office on a lot of these cases?
We do. We want to go to the executive office. We don't want to sit there, unfortunately, morassed in customer service, which sometimes is not even in this country. It's been outsourced. And,
wow.
And they really don't understand what to do. You know, they just have scripts. Scripts don't solve problems. People solve problems. So we go to the executive office, and we're hopeful in many cases we find someone who really cares. That's all we ask of the banks is please care. Care about your fellow citizens.
Right. I mean, that would be the least that we could expect of humanity, that
yeah.
We could actually just, you know, care
yeah.
about making sure everybody's stable, unless you want to end up like we did in the 1930s with shanty towns that were, towns of homeless people.
That's right.
Back in the 1930s under Hoover with the Depression.
Very true.
So
Very true.
I know we're trying to prevent people from becoming homeless. I know you're doing an amazing job. I think it's incredible that you've been helping so many homeowners and that your goal really is to keep people inside of their home. It's so important. It's so necessary. And I really wanted to thank you for the consumers out there that are listening. His website, Alan Mossauer's website, once again, financialsanitynow.com. His email is alan@aes77.com. His company is called Advanced Economic Strategies, but they also go under Financial Sanity Now. Direct telephone number, 818-906-2385. And another line, 866-753-4028. Should they have any questions, they can call or email you, Alan.
Yes.
And you recommend that they like your Facebook page?
Absolutely.
We got to close.
Okay. The more people, the better.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Absolutely. It was really a pleasure. I mean, just the success stories that you've personally helped firefighters, professors, average people. I know you had one client that worked. So thank you so much.
Thank you
for
very much.
And I hope everyone has a good day out there.
Thank you. Bye.